Okay. Let's all get up on in here. We are going to do coaching today. So I actually have two calls. So just in case anybody is wondering, we're going to do this call and then it usually goes for 90 minutes to about 2 hours. And then we'll take a quick break. And then at 12:30, I'll be back and we will do maintenance coaching for all the members who have lost weight, where they get to ask their questions and they get to get their help. Things like that. So as you continue to lose weight, that is one of the things you get to look forward to is that we not only have a maintenance course, we have a maintenance planner, we have a maintenance Facebook group, we have a maintenance call. We do a lot of work on how do you keep the weight off and how do you transition, because I'm gonna promise all of you, like, lose weight the way I teach you, change how you think as you go down the scale. Then when you get to maintenance, it's really just adapting to a brand new identity. Going from someone who has spent most of their life losing weight to suddenly needing to trust that it's like, oh, this is just who I am now. That's not an automatic click. It doesn't matter if you do a lot of the work of changing yourself all the way down. That one piece does have to always get worked on. Now, sometimes people go all the way down the scale and they don't change how they think and they don't look at, like the way they talk to themselves. They just kind of strong arm themselves all the way down the scale. And then when they get to maintenance, they are like one bad day away from going right back up the scale because they never changed their outlook. They never changed the quality of the language they speak to themselves. That is what I did. That was just foundationally different than any other time I'd lost weight. And I just think it's important for all of you to remember you're not here to do the four basics perfectly. That is not why you're here. That is not how you're going to lose your weight by doing the four basics perfectly. You're going to lose weight because all the times when you notice you're not planning or you're changing your plan, you are eating when you're not hungry, when you're eating past enough, like all of that is the highlighted path to here are the things that have to change. So, like, let's say you eat past enough because dinner is the only break you really get. You work all day, you come home, you make dinner. When you sit down to eat, it's like literally the first and only time you're going to sit down for the day. And when you get back up, you're now starting your second shift. Well, you can like try to stop it enough all you want, but if that is really the only break you get and you don't work on that, if you don't do a discovery worksheet on why you keep eating past enough at dinner, you're not going to be able to lose weight, not because you can't stop it enough, because you're not addressing the real problem in the room. You're not noticing that, oh my gosh, I keep eating because this is my only break. So I need to think about that is the real problem. It's not that I eat good foods. It's not that everybody else is still eating around me. That's not my issue. And if you're not doing discovery worksheets and you're not looking at those things and you're not using your planner to track all this stuff, you're going to miss how to change your life. You're going to miss out on all of it. You're just going to keep doing Groundhog Day every single day, coming home, feeling spent, dreading the next thing, and waking up and doing it over every single day with a little dose of shame on top because you can't get your shit together to lose weight. So it's really important that we use these coaching sessions to talk about the real problems, the reason why you don't give yourself breaks. At least the acknowledgement that, yeah, you are really tired and you have been going all day and you do need to do more tonight. And I have a lot of compassion for you. Like having those kind of conversations in that moment means you don't necessarily have to keep eating past enough. Acknowledging that you're getting no breaks might be the one thing you need in order to ask someone in your life, could they help you? Where you haven't been doing that before because you felt guilty or selfish. This is why I teach y'all. It is not about following the basics. It is about let's do the basics and then let's see where they're not working in your life because now we have a life we can work on. And when we work on your life, we fix those foundational reasons why it's hard to stop eating a piece of cake you're enjoying. Because I don't want you to take away cake. I just don't want you to rely on cake to be the highlight reel of your fucking life, the only time you get to feel good. I don't want that for any of you. And I don't think any of you want it for yourselves. That is why Anobias is so different than everything else, because I'm not going to let you just willpower your ass all the way down to the scale to the point that when you get what you want most in the world, you have lost all your weight, that now you're stuck sitting there as someone who always overworks, feels guilty for asking for help, but you just happen to be wearing a size 10 pants now. That sucks. And you don't deserve that. Okay, so we are going to coach, which means I need some people to raise their hands. Let me see who is today. Coach Lisa is here. Promote you. And let's go with Holly. A little nasally this morning. By the way, while we're waiting on Holly, and Holly, when you come up, make sure you turn your camera on because that way I'll be able to see you. We wear orange on Sundays when Tennessee wins. So, y'all should see my outfit though. I have to run after this call. So, let me just show you my outfit. It looks so nice, right? This is a workout shirt. My sports bra is underneath it, and thy shorts are on. I even have running shoes from like here up. I'm like, little Miss Professional. You have to love Zoom. Zoom has freed us all from the tyranny of work pants. All right. Holly, what do you want coaching on?
Hi. So can I ask about anything? Is that okay?
Sure. Today is open coaching, which means you're good to go.
Okay. First of all, I just want to thank you and your group because you guys are just wonderful and have done amazing things for women. So I want to thank you for that. And my question is, I think it's a couple of questions. I'm going to kind of let you guide me on what I should be working on, but I've been yo-yoing probably the last year with like the last 5 pounds or so, getting to my goal weight. And I'm just going to give you my weight numbers because it kind of helps me think about, but anyways, my goal weight is 140. So I kind of go in between 145 and, or 147 and about 143. And when I get to like 143, I kind of get a couple different feelings. I get like this weird feeling or thought that if I go any lower, I'm gonna be too skinny, which like isn't true at all, but I don't know why I think that. I've never been to 140 ever since like high school. I don't know if that's a thing. And then the other thing is that I'm trying to look at my notes.
You're fine.
I'm not finding a good thought either that helps me stop at enough. I struggle with that at dinner time mainly. And then also sometimes I snack at night. Kind of comes and goes.
So, which one would you rather work on?
I don't know, because I would really like to get to 140. So whatever you think will help me get there, because I also want to lose 5 more pounds after that. But
So you don't want to
whatever
get
you
to
think.
140. Let's make sure that, like, I think it's really important that you just say exactly what you want instead of, I want to get to 140, but no, what I really want is to get lower than that, because this may be what's going on in your brain, that to get to what you truly want, that is when your brain is going to start thinking things like, now that's too skinny, or because I'm going to tell you right now. I bet if whenever you weigh 143 and you lost 3 more pounds, there's not a fucking soul in the world that would ever notice.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Think my protein shake weighs 3 pounds.
Okay.
This is
Yeah.
how much would come off your body. And there's no way that you're going to walk into a room where everybody's like, what did you do this week? Oh my God, you're a skeleton. Like, that's not happening. But our brain
Okay.
imagines that. Now, you lose to what you really want to get to. There's probably one of two things that could be happening. Either you don't want to be noticed as too skinny, So your brain knows that you don't want to be seen that way. So it does set you up for little ways to just keep you right here where it's comfortable, acceptable to you, those kind of things. Or it could be that I'd lost my train of thought. My husband walked in the door to do something. So one is like we worry about that. The other side could be that in your mind, to get to the real number you want to get to, that all of this not stopping at enough and nighttime snacking, that has to go away. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing, like somebody, how much weight have you lost?
I think I'm right at 40.
Okay.
It's taken a
Somebody that's,
while, but yeah.
yeah, but let's say 40 pounds just for easy language. Someone that's lost 40 pounds absolutely has the skill to lose. How much more do you want to, like, tell me what the real number is.
I think it's 135 is
Okay.
what
So
I
how
want to
much
be.
weight would that totally be? Like 100 pounds?
As of today, it'd be around 10 pounds.
Okay. So 10 pounds. Somebody that can lose 40 pounds has demonstrated the skills required to lose 10. They'd be like saying, I mean, I know I drove from Tennessee all the way to Nevada. I just don't know if I can make it to California. I mean, that's like another 100 miles from Las Vegas or however far it is. Like, I'm pretty sure that something's gonna like make me not a good driver. Like, look, bitch, if you can drive across the country, I'm sure you can go 3 more hours. Like, we're good, you know? So I think we should work on not stopping at enough and the snacking.
Okay.
And you should just like, I think if you work on that, one, you're going to get to the weight loss you are wanting to get to quite easily, because that's probably the last 10 pounds. For most of you, y'all will ask me, like, how do I get the last 20 off? How do I get the last 10? How do I get the last 5? That last little bit of weight never, ever comes from more restriction, eating like what y'all call less, having to be extra hungry, and not getting the things you want. Every person I've ever coached, and I've been coaching you bitches since 2007, that have been in these situations, the only thing you got to work on is all the emotional eating that you could get away with. And you could sweep under the rug until you get to the end. It's always the emotional eating is the dead last.
Oh, for sure. I agree. I struggle with the I feel like I'm restricting. It feels like I'm restricting when I'm eating less. I get kind of upset, and I think that, like, not upset, but I'm like, this isn't normal that I should be at enough at this point in time, because I have a lot of people in my family that are overweight, and so, like, somebody eating to enough, like, isn't normal, isn't something that I'm used to. And so when I do that, I'm like, this is crazy. This is dumb. There's no way that I'm at enough right now. Like, this is just silly. And then I try to do the ping pong thing where I'm like, oh, but you have a smaller car, smaller gas tank, you need less fuel, all those types of things. And for whatever reason, I just can't seem to find a thought that, like, makes me feel okay about stopping at enough, I guess.
What do those thoughts make you feel? The ones you're currently using?
I'm like, okay, yeah, that's logical, but then they also kind of make me a little angry sometimes, or like a
And
little
what?
anxious.
So that's good to know. So we want to quit using those thoughts, but we do want to figure out why they make you angry or
Okay.
anxious, because this is what will be helpful. And it's, I want to explain to y'all how like thought work, which is what we're basically doing here. When we ping pong thoughts and we need new thoughts and all this other stuff, very often we'll try on thoughts. They sound logical. They sound like when you and I talk about them, it's just like that should work. I mean, for fuck's sake. But that is because our logical brain is turned on right now. When you're in the moment, your logical brain isn't really there. Your logical brain, you got just enough wherewithal to at least ping pong, which is really good. But if a thought in the moment is making you angry, that means that there's a hidden thought we haven't stumbled upon yet. And we actually need the ping pong to that one. So there's this idea that there's our logical things that we think, but underneath there's a problem we're not addressing yet. So logic won't work with what's underneath. So why do we get angry? Like when you say, I mean, you got a smaller car now. It's just the way it is. Like, come on, girl, you only need this much fuel. Why does that make you angry?
Angry is a strong word, maybe just upset. But I think it's because I'm
Upset.
like, this isn't fair, which is stupid. But you
No,
know,
and like, trust me, there's no thought that's stupid. This is really important. If you keep saying this is stupid, then in the moment, why would you ever let that true thought come up for air so that you can compassionately talk to it?
okay.
If that thought is stupid, then when it comes up, or it won't even come up because you know what it doesn't want to be called? Stupid. It wants to be heard. It wants you to like understand why it's upset. It's just like a little kid that walks into the room. If they're upset about something and you look at them and go, well, I know you're stupid, but let's talk about it. I mean, that is what, like, I can't implore y'all enough at this stage to think about every thought that enters your head like an innocent little kid that's walking in wounded, hurt, upset, scared, anything that you're feeling. It is a wounded child. And y'all are over there like, you're stupid. You shouldn't be here. I don't like you. But let's try to do this anyway. That thought now retreats and it feels like I gotta hide. I can't let her know the truth about what's going on. I gotta lie to her all the time and tell her bullshit like, well, it's because everybody used to eat fast enough, or you know, you'll be too skinny. Like it wants to tell you things like that because it's like, oh, I don't want to tell you the truth. You're just gonna yell at me. So
Okay.
let's just tell the truth. And your job while you're getting coached with me, you only have one job. Do not dismiss any of your thoughts anymore on this call.
Oh,
Don't tell
shoot.
them they're
Okay.
stupid. All right.
Okay.
I try really hard. Don't say they're
Okay.
stupid. They're just what you're thinking.
Okay.
They're actually really innocent.
Okay.
Okay. So, what was the thought again? Because now that I've gone on a big rant, I forgot what you said.
Oh, I think I was saying that the thought that comes up is like, you know, you have a smaller body, so you need less fuel or
And that thought upset you. And then it's upsetting because what you're really feeling is that it's what? The eating.
unfair, I think, is what I'm feeling,
Right,
or
good.
just I just get I don't want to say angry, but just like I'm just upset that like this is all I get to eat. Like I'm done now. Like this is it. Like this food is so delicious, but like I can't have anymore. I mean, I could if I choose to, but like if I want to lose weight, I really shouldn't have anymore because then I'm past enough.
So let's think about this. Tell me, and I mean, I want you to tell me the real reason why it's unfair. I don't want you to talk yourself out of it being unfair because there's a
Okay.
part of you that really does. It's like sitting there going, like when you stop it enough, it just feels so unfair to me because.
Because I want more, because I want to be able to eat what I want to eat and eat more than I want to eat. Because
Because
I don't know, because I want to. I can't think of anything else.
well, let's really think about it. I'm gonna give you
Okay.
some time. I'm not gonna interrupt you. I want you to just like take a few deep breaths
Okay.
and do me a favor. Sometimes this helps. I want you to picture something, whether it is the childlike version of you. For me, that always works. It can be like an object, something that for you would represent the part of you that's saying, I just want more, and this is so unfair. Because we're going to talk to that person or that thing, and we're going to let them have a voice. Sometimes we get so caught up in our logical brain, we're trying to make sense, that we don't just let, the quote unquote nonsense part have a say.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't be thinking it if there wasn't a part of you that knew exactly why this is happening. So, what do you want to picture?
I guess picture myself when I was younger.
Okay, that's good because the younger version of ourself isn't really logical. They literally just speak. Like they speak their emotional truth. They don't know yet to speak in the right ways. They're like, it's just like they say, there's nobody more brutally honest than a child.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Is it easier for you to do this with your eyes open or your eyes closed?
I don't know. I've never done anything like this before. Maybe I'll close my eyes.
Okay, let's do that. So we're going to close your eyes. And just
Okay.
take a couple of deep breaths. And then I just want you to kind of picture like the childlike version of you. And tell me what she looks like right now.
I think just I'm picturing more my teenage self than the my
That's
childlike
great.
version.
That's great. Teenagers are also brutally fucking honest.
I would say she is very insecure, very much just wanting to fit in, scared about everything.
Okay. But what does she look like?
Sorry.
No, you're fine. This is great.
She like actually look like hair color or like what? I'm
Yeah, like
not sorry.
we want to get a picture of what you're visualizing.
I am picturing her with her hair down. She's at jeans and a t-shirt. I don't know, I can't think of anything
That's
else.
great.
Okay.
That's perfect. And then, like, where is she? Is she at
She's at
home?
home.
Okay. And can you just tell me a little bit about her surroundings?
She's in her living room.
Is she sitting down, standing?
Sure, she's sitting down.
Okay. And what's she sitting on?
A couch.
So I want you to picture you're going to walk into the room and you're going to sit down next to her. And I want you to ask her, is it okay if I ask you a few questions? And then tell me what she says.
She says yes.
Okay, good. We want to ask her right now, when I'm having dinner in particular, I'm having a hard time stopping my eating. And I know why. It's because I want more food, but I don't know why I want more food. Do you have any guesses as to why that might be happening?
So this is gonna sound kind of, I'm not judging.
And you
So
can judge right
the
now if you want to.
thing, so this is gonna sound kind of silly. But I grew up with my dad loving pasta and anything noodles, and I always felt shame, or I guess embarrassment, because I always wanted more than what I know I should have. I remember being told no a couple times because I shouldn't have more, not necessarily because of my weight, but just that I shouldn't. And I always remember like overeating that because like overeating it to the point where I was just so full because I don't know. I think maybe part of it was like, I'm never going to have this again, or I shouldn't have it, or I shouldn't eat this much. And so then you just kind of like keep eating because if you stop, you just get anxious. And I remember that being like a big thing back then. And I know that's so superficial. It wasn't anything dramatic, like we didn't have enough food. It was just more that my parents were kind of both obese, and that was always a thing in our house about being overweight, and we liked pasta too much and ate it too much.
Okay, so this is great, and this is not superficial. This is just real. It's your lived experience. And I want you to ask the teenage version of you, so why do you think I'm doing it now? Why do you think I'm eating past enough today?
I've got nothing. I don't know. She's not saying anything other than I don't know if I'm making this up or if she's actually saying this, but because you feel like you're not good enough. And that's kind of a way to, I don't know. I don't feel like that when I'm overeating, that I'm not good enough, but I know that is an underlying thing for me just in general.
Okay. So I think she just gave you like a truth that if you're spending a lot of your day feeling not good enough, then why would you want to stop at enough?
Because how else am I going to get to my goal if I don't?
I know. It's not going to come from stopping at enough. Getting to your goal weight is going to be the journey of you figuring out all day long how to talk to yourself with love, understanding, compassion, and showing yourself all the areas of your life where you're beyond good enough. You're extraordinary. You are way better than you give yourself credit for. It's not nearly as bad as you think. You won't be able to stop it enough ever at dinner consistently for the rest of your life if eating past enough is the only way that you're kind of shutting down that voice. If that is the break of the day, and I want you to think about this, if you spend your day putting yourself in a pressure cooker of, well, that wasn't good enough, and that's not good enough. I should have done that better. I should have been doing these things. Well, I know they said this, but if they only knew, or I know they said this, but I'll probably screw it up, or I hope I can continue this. If that's the only kind of conversation we're having, we're going into the meal ready to explode. And it won't feel like for a lot of you, it is so natural to just live, like I call it under the wire. So there's this like baseline of enoughness that everybody has. And a lot of us, it's very normal to live about 3 feet under it. We don't even know we're miserable. It's just the way we talk to ourselves. It feels hard. We intellectually don't like it, but we don't know any other way to operate. It almost feels dangerous to just get to the wire. Like when I say to you, there are areas of your life where you are absolutely extraordinary, and I would love for you to list just 10 of them because I believe there's at least 300. So give me 10 areas of your life where you're an extraordinary human and that we should all hear it. What happens? Other than you getting off camera. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. Like, I don't even want to hear you talking about extraordinary. I'm gonna hide. Like, physically, you literally left the screen. Like, woo.
I guess I don't feel like that.
Yeah. It's no wonder, like, we want to eat past enough at dinner and have snacks at night. We got to relieve the pressure somehow. We got to shut things down somehow.
It's so crazy because when I am doing that, that's, I don't feel like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what's coming up. But I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess.
It doesn't come up at dinner because you'll be too skinny is the safe thing for you to hear. Remember, we started all of this with saying your brain is kind of throwing up some stuff because you call it stupid, superficial. I don't really think that's the problem. And that little child in you, the teenager in you who's sitting there saying, I mean, our whole family's obese, and I have to like overeat pasta and hide it because it's not good enough to just eat some. Not for me. I want more, but I'm being shamed about it. And when she thinks that the way she really feels is silly or not important, she's not going to walk into the room at dinner and say, hey, Holly, before you eat, I just want to let you know all day long I didn't feel good enough. Because she's afraid you're going to look at her and say, that's stupid. Just do what I tell you to do. So let's go back to teenage Holly.
Okay.
Now I want you to tell her, I think I do know, and I think you've really helped me. And where do you see in my daily life just one area that I'm more than enough, but I don't talk about it that way. I'm actually too hard on myself about it. What would she pick out?
I think she would say that I'm a good mom for the most part.
For the most part, would she say that?
Oh my God. Okay, probably not.
Go back to her and say, you tell me why I'm a good mother.
Because you love your kids unconditionally and you're always thinking about them and always trying to make sure that they're loved and cared for, and that you're just always there for them no matter what.
Now, how does it feel to you to hear that?
It feels good.
And
Calming. Don't have anything else.
here's the most important question. Does it feel true? Really sit with it.
Yeah, it feels true.
This is important because we're going to start there. This is the part that, younger you, it jumped out to her that if I had one thing to pick that I know you currently do a great job at, but you're not noticing it, it is your mothering.
Okay.
And your job is to make sure that there's nothing in there that's saying but, because it will feel kind of true, but not really true.
Okay.
And in order for this to work, in order for us to start figuring out how do we take the pressure down during the day, we need to tell ourselves things that feel like really true in our bones. We have to
Okay.
start with absolute truths that we can get 100% behind. Then we start just practicing those kinds of thoughts. And then eventually what happens is you start building some confidence that that's true. And then you'll start noticing other things and you'll be able to layer more in.
Okay.
Because what I think ends up happening with all of you is you tell yourself thoughts that sound logical, but they don't feel really true. And one of the things that I work on all the time with my own coach is I don't walk out into the world trying to tell myself things I just don't believe. She will not let me move on until I say, usually the first thing a thought feels is I'll say, well, it just feels like the truth. And then we go into other feelings.
Okay.
So here's your homework. I don't want you trying to force yourself to stop it enough anymore. Just keep noticing, keep paying attention, do the same thing with your nighttime snacks. But I want you to, instead of trying to change your thoughts and argue with your thoughts about stopping it enough, I want you to start getting really curious about what area, like, what is it about taking this break? Like deep inside, do I need this break with food? That's usually why we keep eating, is to extend feeling good. And we conflate that the food tastes so good as us feeling good. Instead of usually what's happening is I feel good because I'm not listening to the other side of me right now. I'm so focused on the food and it tasting good. I don't hear the part of me that's saying, well, I guess you're a good mother. Most of the time, I guess you do this, okay. But let me tell you all the other ways you screwed up today. When we turn off the Eeyore voice, it does sound, it feels fucking amazing. And we get confused that it's the food doing it. It's like, no, we shut down an asshole. We put our earmuffs on for like 20 minutes while we eat. So this week, when you're eating at dinner, no more forcing yourself to stop it enough. No more ping-ponging thoughts about, whatever you're doing. Those thoughts just don't work. They're logical, but they're not fixing the real problem. So just get really curious when you're eating about, this is probably not about the food. I wonder what it is about my day that makes eating past enough, relieving.
Okay.
And then the other thing is you got to listen to how you talk to yourself. Start, like, remember when I said no dismissing your thoughts?
Yeah.
You're like, okay. And then all of a sudden you noticed every time you were doing it, every time you tried, you're like, oh, we haven't turned our brain on to listen for our not good enough thoughts.
Yeah, but I don't also want to be the person that thinks that like they're just the most wonderful person in the world by,
You are never going to get there. Anybody that suffers with feeling like, everybody please write this down. There is not one person I've ever coached who lives in the not good enough duder who has suddenly become an arrogant asshole. You got a long way to go to turn that brain off to suddenly become a braggart, arrogant, thinking you're better than everybody else. Like, you don't even have the DNA. I'm just asking you to give yourself credit where credit's due. Internally, I'm not asking you to go like tomorrow to your children and say, I need everybody to listen up. I am the world's best mother. And you're all gonna fucking respect me for it because I am beyond good. I'm extraordinary, actually. My coach told me so. But that's not what we're doing. What we're gonna do is every time we do something for our kids, we're gonna on the inside say, this is another example of me being an extraordinary mother. This is another example of me doing everything for my kids. This is another example of why I should never tell myself I'm good enough most of the time. I should always be thinking about how I am a great mother.
Okay.
I just love how we always, like, this is the curse of women, and I am with y'all, and I'm in the cursed boat myself. But when I ask you to talk nice to yourself, believe in yourself, see yourself in a positive light, we're like, whoa, now, come on. What are we doing here? Like, no, I don't want to feel good. You know what I'd like to feel? Mediocre for the rest of my life. Maybe okay, but most of the time afraid that I'm not. Now tell me how to lose weight. We're not going to settle for mediocre. We're going to raise the bar to, let's just start with maybe better than average.
Do you recommend the self-love or the relationship course? I tried the self-love and it wasn't quite hitting me, but I also didn't finish it. I don't know which one would be better.
Yeah, it's
Or do
kind of
you
hard for
think?
something to slap you in the face when you don't finish the complete journey.
Yeah, okay. That's
Yeah,
fair.
but yeah. I'd be like, well, I didn't get to enjoy the beach because I stopped in Nevada. I didn't finish my trip to the other side of California. I wonder why I didn't enjoy the beach.
Okay.
I think either one would be good. I don't think there's a better one. If you do the relationships, I want you to do the relationship. When we did relationships camp, we did it where you could choose whether you did the relationship with others or you did the relationship with yourself. And right now, the most important relationship for you, I feel like you probably, the way you talked about how you do for your children, you probably do for a lot of people that way. If I had to guess, you probably have a lot of healthy relationships around you. The unhealthiest relationship you have working right now is probably your relationship with you. And if you fix that relationship, you'll probably see all the other relationships. Just number one, they'll all get better. Whenever we have a good relationship with ourselves, everyone benefits around us. Everyone. And when we have a really good relationship with ourselves, if we have any unhealthy relationships in our life, then we now have the courage to work on them or to cut them. Because sometimes when you have an unhealthy relationship with yourself, you keep other unhealthy relationships. And it doesn't,
Okay.
for all of you, please don't hear me that you're going to somehow become some kind of slasher dasher who now cuts everybody out when you get a healthy relationship with yourself. I have, like, my mother is a great example. I had a terrible relationship with myself for a long time. We had a very unhealthy relationship. And when I worked on me, our relationship just got 1,000 times better. And my mother, I promise all of you, didn't change 1 ounce. In fact, when I talk to her now, stuff that I used to hang up the phone on her, swear I wasn't going to talk to her for months on end, get so mad and stuff, now they don't bother me. I just always think, like, well, that's my mom. Like, and I have like empathy and understanding because I don't carry around now that like, I was cheated as a kid and blah, blah, blah. Like, I fixed all of that in me. So just pick the, like, either pick the relate, like, just do one or the other, but I'd probably do them back to back. I'd probably do either relationship with self and then self-love, or do self-love and then do the relationship with yourself. I just don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it.
Okay. I asked a similar, I basically asked and asked coaches today, kind of what I asked you today. Is there a way to, should I like get rid of that post or just leave it?
No,
Okay.
just leave it. Lisa, if you do you want their answer too, or you want to just roll with mine?
I don't want to get overwhelmed or confused, so I think I'll just start with yours.
Okay,
If that's
Lisa,
okay.
just go to the back end, find her question, and delete it. We can just trust me with this little reward thing that we've got going on right now. They're getting 600 a week right now, which is good. We want volume. Like, please don't take the foot off the gas, y'all. But one less, they're probably not going to be like, oh no. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Holly. You're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye.
Damn, mouse turned off again. All right. Annette. Hey, Annette.
Hi.
All right,
So
I must have somebody really important. Legislative Action Committee. Woo, hope you don't kick my ass.
No
All
worries. I'm not even sure what I'm doing there. It's
right,
for
that's good to know. I'm like, woo, I got to be on my best behavior. What can I help you with today?
I'm a school teacher and I went back to work, and of course I am an interventionist. So I teach small groups. I have five small groups in the morning that are 25 minutes each with 5 minutes in between. Then I have a half an hour lunch by the time I actually get to it. And then I have four more small groups in the afternoon that are about 25 to 30 minutes each with 5 minutes in between. And I'm overeating. I'm overeating at lunch. I'm overeating, possibly binge eating at night. I feel that it's an emotional type of eating. I just don't know which one, and I'm not sure what to work on.
Okay. So we're not overeating because of our job. You probably have a lot of thoughts about your job. Like, you have thoughts about your job, you have thoughts about your abilities, you have thoughts about it's too much, it's too little, whatever it is. So like, just math wise, you have 525 minutes that, let's say 5 times 30, right? It'd be 30 minutes if you include your 5 minute break in the morning. How many hours? Is that 2.5 hours of work? Is that what that is? Okay. So 2.5 hours, a 30-minute break, and then 2 hours of work. So 5.5 hours of work a day. That's just going to be our fact.
Okay.
When I tell you your life, because I have a feeling the way you told me this, you didn't give me your thoughts about all of it. But
No.
all we're going to be dealing with, right? So you told me, here's my job, and I'm overeating, which means in
Right.
your brain, this job causes me to overeat, and it's not the job. Now, what we want to figure out is in that 6 or 7 hours that you're at the job, what's going on inside your brain that's got you feeling like you need to overeat to the point you're possibly binging at night? So let's start with how you feel during the day. Like when you think about your job as an interventionist teacher and you have these sessions and stuff, let's just break down the morning session because we're overeating at lunch. So the 2.5, what did we say, 2.5 hours that you work in the morning, something's happening inside your brain while you're working that's making you feel some way. When you go into, like, when you're working, are you feeling smart, brilliant, 100% capable, best teacher in the world, making a difference, full of purpose? Or are we anxious, worried, scared we're doing it wrong, thinking we're failing children, worrying you're not doing enough. Like, and none of those may be right. I need you to like kind of tell me the story of my brain and how I feel in the mornings when I'm working is.
The day starts off smooth. I get there. I have about 20 minutes to get my life together in the classroom. I go out to morning duty. I bring all the kids into the school. Sometimes that goes really great. Sometimes it's like a herd of elephants coming through with all the little kitty cats coming in with them, and you're just trying to get them all in. And then I have about 10 minutes before group starts again, because I do a lot of check-ins with kids and things like that, and try to help set their day up so they have a good day. And then group start, and like the first group gets in, things are going great. The room is nice and calm. And then by the time I have second graders, then I have fourth grade math, and then I have first grade reading, and then I have,
Why is that all the problem? Just your job. You're literally just giving me your job description. You're
it's
giving
a
me the
problem
things that
because
you are supposed to be doing. And you're like, I've not figured out why your job description causes you to overeat.
I feel rushed. I feel hair, I feel rushed. I feel like everything just gets out of control,
Okay,
and
right
then
there. Everything's out of control. That's a great thought. How does that make you feel?
tired, ready to quit, don't want to do it anymore.
So let's just poke a little hole in this thought. Okay, because that is your brain's story about the first half of the day is everything's out of control. Or at some point, everything's going to be out of control. Because you kind of talk about, like when it first starts, it's pretty good, unless they're like herding cats. And then everything's out of control. Is everything out of control?
No.
Why? What's actually happening then?
What's actually happening is I just feel rushed. I feel unprepared, even though I'm prepared.
All right. So when we're going to start looking for space for why we're eating. It is because you're telling the story, you're lying to yourself and you're allowing the lie to exist with no challenging. You just literally told me, I feel so unprepared, even though I'm actually prepared. When you start feeling unprepared, you need to say, like, oh, actually, we're prepared. I'm just used to thinking that I'm unprepared. I mean, is it true that you're prepared?
Yeah, I'm prepared. I mean, I have all my lesson plans set out, and even when things don't go as planned, it's okay because the kids are still learning. The kids are still getting what they need.
Okay. How often every day do you tell yourself that? It's like, you know
Never.
what? I know Johnny just, took a shit in the middle of the room, but I know the kids are all learning and I know this is happening. Or are we like, oh my God, everything's out of control. I can't wait till lunch so I can eat.
Yep, that's the one I'm telling myself every day. I can't wait for lunch. I
And
can't wait to get a break. I can't wait to all this
now
stuff in a pile so it's out of my way.
this is what I want you to start telling yourself. The moment you start saying, I can't wait for lunch, I want you to tell yourself, it's only because you're exaggerating what's actually happening in every moment. If we have a kid or we have a situation that is batshit crazy, and your story is everything's out of control, instead of what you fundamentally believe, which is kids are still learning. I am prepared. Let me ask you this. Can you give me a short, concise sentence of a situation that happens routinely with the kids that makes you kind of like get into a tizzy about it? Internally.
I wouldn't say it's with the kids so much as it is with other colleagues that are teaching in the same room.
So that's great. Then the kids, if the kids ain't the problem, colleagues are a lot easier to deal with than unpredictable little children's. So what happens with a colleague? Give me one sentence where it's like a colleague, this happens with a colleague, and then suddenly I have thrown away everything I know about me, which is I'm prepared, kids learn, blah, blah, blah.
My colleagues and myself start out in a calm voice, and then by the and as each group goes, we become dysregulated and louder, and the room becomes so noisy and so loud that I just want to run away.
Okay.
It's overwhelming.
Okay. So that is going to be your life until you figure out a different. Right now, the way you're running away is by telling yourself, I can't wait for lunch. I can't wait for lunch. I can't wait for lunch. That's how you're quieting the noise of the room. And then when you go eat, you quiet the noise in your head of, I probably got to do this for the rest of the day. Okay. How else can you quiet the noise in your head without having to say, I can't wait for lunch?
How else could I quiet that noise? I could quiet the noise in my head by reminding myself that when I keep a lower voice, I feel calmer and not rise to the level of noise in the room. Because I know that as other people are talking and they get louder, I get louder, then they get louder, then I get louder, then pretty soon the noise level is up here.
So I
So
refuse to
may
dysregulate myself.
Which is exactly what happens is I become so dysregulated, and like sometimes I'm actually shaking. I'm so dysregulated.
So in those moments, we're not going to be able to tell ourselves something, but you have a really good signal coming from your body. It's communicating to you very well that you're dysregulated. Now, in those moments, how can you escape other than yelling and looking forward to lunch? Because you have a, like, I just want you to notice, and this is for all of you, when we are dysregulated, we have coping skills. Just very often, we're not using the best ones. So, like, right now, your coping skill is daydream about what you're going to eat and yell.
Not really yelling, but just in it talking very
Well,
loudly.
right, or talk really loud. I just call it yelling because I'm from the South and it's easier to say yelling than talking very loud. We like to use as little words as we can because we're going to stretch
I'm
one
from
word out
the
for like 40 syllables.
I'm
We
from
don't have time for all the words.
the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest and live in Oregon.
Yeah, we definitely have our syllables on lock down here. So I want you to think about it. Right now, I'm calming my nervous system by raising my voice and dreaming about lunch. Now, we're going to need to figure out a way to calm our nervous system in the moment so that when we get to lunch, we can actually relax. We can walk in not so dysregulated. Like, just imagine going to lunch. If let's say it's a range of 1 to 10, right now you're probably going in like a number 10 of dysregulation. If you could walk in with like a 5 or a 6, then you wouldn't need to overeat. It's a lot easier to turn down a 5 or a 6 because you don't have far to go. When you're at a 10, you probably do have to eat. It's gonna be really hard to turn down a 10. That's why I always like to tell y'all, like, let's start at the point of when we're getting dysregulated. Let's not try to just dis like let's not practice doing this. I will ignore all the reasons why I dysregulate myself, and then I'm just going to practice calming techniques at lunch. It's like, no, let's like figure out how do we fix things so that we don't always have to be at a level 10 walking into lunch. So what do you think you can do? The kid, let's imagine colleagues are loud. You notice the temp, like the sound level is just getting louder and louder and louder in the room. Your body is like, okay, we're shaking. Annette, I'm letting you know right now, dysregulation time has arrived. Here we are. Now, what do we want to do?
I want to run away. I could take the kids. I could just take the kids. Like when before, I usually can tell when I'm just feeling overwhelmed with just the whole fiasco, just for a better lack of a better word. Just like I like when a group ends on a certain note. And I feel frazzled. I should just pick up my bin for the next group and just go somewhere else.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Because if you don't and you're frazzled, they walk in, they're probably just going to feed off your energy. You're going to start at frazzled instead of like what you do with the first group. I start kind of calm. I start this way. It sets the tone. So that's good to know. And that's good to know that that's a possibility.
Definitely. It is a possibility. I've done it before.
Let me challenge this thought. I think you want to run away. I think you feel like you want to run away, but I don't think you actually want to. You know what I think you really want? To be better at dealing with your own emotions.
Yes, I
Otherwise, you would have
do.
already quit that job.
Most
Like
definitely.
it's re I want all of you to think about how frustrating or like this friction and tension that's created in us when we continually tell ourselves things that just aren't really true. Like, I want to run away. I always like to tell myself, Corinne, I know you think you want to run away right now, but you really don't. What you want is a better way to handle your emotions when they're strong. You want a better way to react when it feels like chaos in the room. What you really want is to be able to deal with these situations better. Because if you really like, for me, when I tell myself the truth like that, it takes my own temperature down. I'm not allowed like now to think things that just feel like it's like an asshole way to describe it. It doesn't help me come up with solutions. It doesn't help me problem solve my life. It also doesn't help me know when I need to cut bait on something. Because if you truly, like if this job was just really bad and blah, 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 and no amount of thought work, emotional regulation, or whatever was happening, then you would want to leave it. That would be like now you would be prepared to say, I want to leave it because I have tried really hard. I just don't want to emotionally regulate myself every day. I don't want to have to take kids to another room. I don't want to, like, I just don't want to be doing that anymore. I've tried all of it and I've taken care of me, but it doesn't feel like the job is taking care of me. That's when we know we do want to leave a job. We don't ever want to leave a job because I'm not doing myself any solids. I'm just letting everything railroad me. I'm just overeating because you won't quit the job because of the job. You'll quit the job because of the overeating. You'll quit the job because I never learned how to manage my own emotions. So I had to leave a job.
And then I also experience the same thing whenever I get home from work. I
It's
come
just the same
home.
thing of all day.
Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee you, when you fix this part of you that says you're unprepared. Like to me, that's like thought work. That is you every day practicing before you go to work. I know I'm probably going to think I'm unprepared today, but here's my lesson plans. I'm actually very prepared. I even have a plan for when things get too more noisy, when it feels like chaos in my body. In fact, I'm so prepared. I know what body signals I get that tell me it's time to change the environment a little bit so I can settle down. I also know that my kids learn. I know I'm doing a good job, even if I feel dysregulated. You know, there's a lot of us that are very functional, even in dysregulated states. I've had so many times when I've had a lot of shit going on in my life, like a load. And I have come to these coaching calls on a Sunday and coached my face off for 2 hours. And the whole time in the back of my mind is worries, anxieties, fears. I've come to coaching calls before, cried my eyes out over some problem in my life, and then turn the camera on. I'm like, hello, y'all, what's up? Let's, UT won. Some of us, still show up and do our job just fine. We just are the sufferers of ourselves. So I think you can kind of lean into that.
Right, I definitely can. Because even though I'm feeling dysregulated, you're right. I'm always like, hi guys, come on in, let's get started, get the, and it's so, yeah, definitely can relate to that.
So that's
Because
why it's
you
important for you to be thinking more about it's like my problem isn't that I'm overeating at lunch and overeating at night. My real problem is how I'm talking about my day to myself. My real problem is noticing that I'm dysregulated, and instead of like thinking through with correct, like you did today, you're going to do this on your own. Thinking through, like, man, when I typically feel these things in my body. Like, that's when I know my nervous system is frayed. I wonder what I could do. Because right now, I just look forward to eating. So I wonder if there's anything else I could do to help myself. That is what you fix. And then I want you to imagine now we're going to spend an entire day talking differently to ourselves, talking about how prepared we are. Stuff's going to be happening all around us, but we got a new story happening in our head. We're not going to say school's a fiasco anymore. We're going to say, like, what else do I expect with a bunch of kids? It's not a fiasco, it's called children.
Right.
I chose a job where I work every single day with little humans that aren't developed yet to emotionally regulate. They're not logical. Like, that's not a fiasco. That's normal human behavior at this stage of their life. And you
Most
spend your entire day,
definitely.
you spend your day talking about your life that way. And any time when noise levels or different things kind of trigger your nervous system, you're kind of doing some stuff for yourself. You're like box breathing, or you pick up your stuff and be like, this next class, we are going over here because like nobody needs this. And you tell yourself, I'm smart enough to know that this is a good idea. Yay me. What emotion do you think you go home with if you're doing that all day long?
If I'm telling myself the new story and
We're talking the
doing.
new story and the new world order. And nobody, your colleagues nor the children have changed their behavior at all. You've just changed
Right.
your internal behavior.
Oh, then the story I would be going home with is that was a great day today. All my groups went smoothly, even when we had upset.
Not all the groups went smoothly because we're gonna have a lot of days they don't go smooth at all. We're actually having to leave the room because everybody was so mad and
Two.
you were dysregulated.
Then the news story would be,
No, I don't want the new story. I want you to think about, oh, go ahead.
I took care of me. I
Okay.
noticed when I was dysregulated, and I did something about it instead of just mustering through.
Okay. How would you feel at the end of the day when you go home? If you spent the
Relief.
entire relief. You'd be
Relief.
glad. You would be really glad the day is over.
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, we all would
Sure.
be. You'd feel why would you feel relief?
Because even though I had moments of dysregulation, even though not everything went as planned or whatever, I would know that I took care of myself in the moment instead of just trying to white knuckle through and not do anything for me and just sort of bear the I'm going to call it a burden, but just I didn't take care of me.
So rather than being the burden, you were the hero of your own story all day.
Right.
And so when we go home, I just want you to see this. When you go home, because you took care of yourself all day, we now don't have to take care of ourselves with food. Because right now, what
Exactly.
you're doing is you're waiting until lunch and the end of the day to care for yourself. And by the time lunch and the end of the day comes, because you haven't taken care of yourself, you're not going to logically be able to do it. Your nervous system is dysregulated. You are at the end of your rope. It doesn't matter how bad you want to lose weight, it will pale into comparison of how bad you want to feel better at
Exactly.
that moment. And so
I'm
that is
always
why.
choosing the moment.
And that's fine to choose the moment. We just want to get to the moment, and it's easy to choose yourself. It's really hard to choose weight loss if in the moment you're in an emotional crisis because you ignored your needs all day long. And you not only did you ignore your emotional needs, but you didn't talk well to yourself. You allowed yourself to turn up the volume of panic and frustration and anxiousness and overwhelm all day long. You're just like, let me turn it up a little bit more. My ears aren't quite bleeding yet. So when we go
Most
home,
definitely.
yeah, now when we go home, we're like in a self-worth, self-esteem, and an emotional crisis. And your brain is gonna be like, fuck weight loss. Are you kidding me? The house is on fire. I gotta put it out. Where is spaghetti, pizza, and ding dongs?
Amen.
Because that's the fire extinguisher.
Right. I need to extinguish the fire throughout the day instead of
Or
adding
don't
wood to
start
the fire.
fires. How about we
Well,
just
that
don't
would be
start them to
good
begin with?
too. That'd be good too. Just
Well,
don't
this is
start
the,
them.
yes, there's a balance. So like during the day, if your colleagues are raising their tone and whatnot, that is a fire that you didn't start, but it is a fire that you now know
Correct.
you can quickly put out. It's like the difference, like, oh my gosh, I think the toast is burning when the teachers are like yelling or whatever. And so you fix it by moving them. Some fires you're starting yourself. You're so unprepared. Everything is just out of control. There's nothing you can do about it. We just need to get to lunch. I just blah, 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 blah. That is like you sitting there with kerosene, dumping it all over the room and lighting matches and just throwing it yourself. So there's the fires that the little ones that we can put out that are just, this is just normal. This is how little kids act. This is what teachers do. I can't control them. I just can control my response. Then there's the fires you're starting yourself. And those are the ones we are like, now I got to put those out. And we'll start putting them out during the day. So, two pieces of homework. Number one is your body gives you that clear signal when it's dysregulated. You already have one solution. I would love for you to think about other ways that you notice when you get janked up. Are there other things that happen that press your buttons and you're like, you know, I could do this? So we're going to open ourselves up to how can we fix the fires that other people start for us? And then I just want you to pay attention, rapt attention, just like the last person, to I wonder how often I start my own little fires. I wonder how often I can catch myself thinking about things at a level 10 when I absolutely could turn the volume down to a 5. If I think I'm unprepared, I could remind myself that's not the problem. You are very prepared. Just things just feel chaotic right now. When you are saying, just can't get, I can't wait for lunch. And you tell yourself, hey, I just want to remind you, we are trying to take care of ourselves in new ways. And then anything else that you say, if you think that, you know, there's times when you're not doing enough, you know, whatever it is, I just want you to pay attention. Catch as many as you can. Don't try to just change all the thoughts. Very often, when it comes to how we talk to ourselves, noticing how often we're doing it is enough motivation for you to naturally change and stop it without having to come up with a perfect thought to make me feel amazing. It kind of happens organically. That's why y'all get coached, because a lot of times I just ask y'all a couple simple questions, and next thing you know, you're telling me the story and you tell me amazing thoughts. You tell me something like you. I was like, well, tell me about this, you know, unpreparedness. You're like, well, I'm actually very prepared. I do all my things and blah, 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 blah. It's the only thought we ever needed. You're just not telling yourself that thought. We didn't have to come up with something amazing like, you're the best teacher in the whole world and they're blessed to have you. I don't need that.
No, I just need to remind myself you are prepared. You have your lessons. You have your materials.
And sometimes I get anxious and sometimes I get overwhelmed. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Okay.
All right. I think that will fix your eating. That's going to take some time. Don't expect like tomorrow to be like, oh my God, I was a baller at lunch and dinner and my problems are solved for the rest of my life. Not going to happen. But I bet you're going to start seeing, you're going to start just noticing a lot of things. And just noticing usually is usually the best medicine we've got. Okay.
I will write my thoughts down.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Oh, let's see. Geraldine, you're the last one. Y'all ever notice the theme of every single call is could be summed up into I don't give myself enough credit. Like, I really think if I could just throw like good enough credit all over, like sprinkles all over all of you, think about 50% of that overeating would get cut down in a day. Like, God, everything is always, even last week, everybody I coached, I was like, you know. You just gave yourself some credit. If you just cut yourself some slack, you'd feel better. And y'all are like, no, where's like, you know, like you want to throw holy water on the feel goods. All right. Geraldine, let's get you unmuted. I'm gonna tell you what, I am sweating like a hog up in here, y'all. I'm gonna take the jacket off. I hope this doesn't mean we lose against Mississippi State next week. Like, I will tell y'all, the one thing Corinne is crazy about is superstitions when it comes to sports. All right, Geraldine, what you got?
Apologies for the attic. It's the only place the kids won't find me.
That's all right.
It's commitment, right? So, let's see. My question was, I'm trying to skip my small talk. I could use some direction. And one thing, so I'm a coach and I have a community. And the thing that I notice in my community in terms of their progress is their belief in their ability is probably the thing that drives the most amount of results, right? And I just observe them and I'm like, man, but like if you don't believe, you're gonna get stuck. And the more you believe, the faster you will travel. And I like the same for myself. I notice my own disbelief in my own ability to do this. And the third thing is that now I have a time window. For decades, I've been like, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. I have kids, I don't have time. I have business, I don't have time. Going to France, I don't have time. And now I'm like, I got time. So now I have the time, like I don't have the time excuse anymore. And I'm
Okay,
like, oh
that's good.
shit, that's awesome. But I'm also like, oh crap, my main excuse I can't use anymore. Now what do I do?
Well, you figure
Which
out why
is,
you need an excuse. What are you worried
yeah.
about? Like, why were you finding an excuse? What are you finding an excuse about, first of all? I don't really have the
Yeah.
actual thing that you're avoiding.
I don't have time to lose weight. I don't have time to think about my food. I don't have time to plan my food. I don't have time to follow my plan. I don't have time to pay attention to how I feel.
Okay, so you do have time. So now we know exactly what to tell ourselves in those moments. You might not do it, but we at least, like, step one is always to tell the truth in the face of the lie. Like, brain, you can think all day long that we ain't got time, but the truth is we got plenty of time. So when we tell the truth, now we can ask ourselves, why do we not want to lose weight right now? Because it's not a time issue. There's a reason why I don't want to do it. I wonder what that is.
Scared.
Of what?
I don't know, but I'm gonna cry. Here it
That
comes. I can
means
feel it.
we are right on track. Anything that brings up our emotions fast means we're literally now we're actually opening the door to what's really going on. So why are you scared to lose weight?
I don't know, but I'm like, I don't have a fast answer, but I'm willing to stay right here and explore it. I also feel like I'm the person who comes on the call and like instantly turns into a puddle of tears.
Okay, that's usually me with my coach. We get about 3 minutes in, and next thing you know, it's
Let's
like a
just get right
ball
to it.
fucking session. So,
Why? What am I like? Here's what comes. It feels like the solution to all of this is really straightforward. And yet, my actions are that I don't commit to just doing it and fucking figuring it out.
it's because there's something scary underneath there. What I would love for you to do is not coach yourself right now
Okay.
and to just talk. Just be
What if I
Geraldine.
fail again?
Okay.
Yeah,
What if
what
you
if I
do?
fail again?
What's going to happen if you fail again?
It's hopeless.
Is it?
It will have all been for naught.
Will it?
I might as well not be here.
So you want to lose weight, but you're afraid of failing. We really need to figure out, like, you're kind of giving me some more thoughts, but I want you to, like, this is important. And this will even help you with when you coach others. You have made failing a really big deal.
I don't
And
fail at
I,
things.
yeah, you do.
Not
You
who
do
I
all the
am.
time.
Right.
Tell me some things that you failed at.
Well, I mean, I feel it so many things all the time. And it's not a problem in most arenas except for here.
Right, but this is the funny thing. First, you said, I don't fail at things. Then, when I asked you, tell me some things, you're like, well, I fail at a lot of things. What is the truth?
I just try things until I figure it out.
Okay. So
What is the
why,
truth? There's
in when
the
it
truth is
comes,
that there's no such thing as failure. Like,
no, there's a such thing as failure. Trust me, failure exists. It is for real. Y'all trying to tell yourself that failure doesn't exist, I think is called gaslighting. I have failed at
interesting.
many things.
Yeah.
My pull-ups thing. I'm failing like a son of a bitch right now. I wanted 10 by the end of the year. I got to 5 real fast. And I was just like, this is done. Then I don't know what happened my birthday month where I worked the absolute hardest. I couldn't get out more than 4. This month, I now can consistently do 4. And we're in September. I have failed. There's a big difference between everybody fails at things, but some people make themselves a failure. And I think that's what's happening here and why you're so scared. It's not that, like, what is it, my, like, when I asked you about what is the big deal? Let's just say that you fail at weight loss right now. In your mind, now it's hopeless and blah, blah, blah. This is what I see with most people in weight loss. They make themselves a failure, but you know the one thing we never do? We really don't give up. You know how I know we don't give up? We're like, oh my God, Becky just started these new shakes. I'm going to go look at that website. Oh Lord. I just saw an Instagram reel of a fitness person doing this workout. Maybe I should try that. Y'all don't ever give up on it. Y'all say you do. Y'all make it such a big deal. If you just started saying, I probably will fail a lot, but that doesn't make me a failure. Just starting with that, at least opens the door to it's not supposed to go perfectly. It just isn't.
Just have no, I haven't given myself any room to make any mistakes. It's like I gotta figure it out and I gotta get it right now.
Why right now? Why do you gotta
Because
lose weight like
I
right now?
it's been five, I'm 50. It's been 50 years, damn it.
Who cares? But this is the thing. Why is right now? Now, the time where you're drawing a line in the sand that says, if I don't do it now, I am declared a failure and hopeless for the other 50 years of my life. I mean, that's a heavy load to bear.
It puts a lot of pressure on myself to have to figure it out right now, right away. And then it sets the cycle spinning.
Yeah, like, I just want you to know. This is for all of you. If you don't lose weight right now, it's only the end of the world if you tell yourself it's the end of the world. You're only a failure if you tell yourself a failure. It is amazing to me how often people lose weight faster when they quit expecting to do everything right. Because when we expect to do everything right, and we have no room for mistakes. We also have no room for learning. We've now said, you don't get to learn anymore. You don't get to figure out why you eat. You don't get to address small talk and stuff. You just need to do these things because, probably in your mind, let me ask you this. Let's just say, how much weight do you have to lose?
Less than 10.
Okay. Let's say that in 2 months, I could guarantee you the 10 pounds are now gone. They're gone. And for those 2 months, you did the things. I didn't wave a magic wand. You just fixed your shit and got your 10 pounds off. What are you telling yourself at the end there? What are you allowed now to say to yourself?
because I fixed my shit? Like, is it magic wand or is it I
Because
fixed my
no, it's
shit and
not
it.
magic wand. Like
Okay.
you did the like this. Let me say it this way. For the next 2 months, you did the basics perfectly and you lost 10 pounds. You may or may not have fixed your shit. Just for some reason, you did the basics perfect. Like you said, I gotta do it perfect. There's no room for mistakes. And that's what you did for 2 months. And at the end of the 2 months, you're like, fuck yeah, here I am, 10 pounds down. This is what I wanted. Now, what are you allowed to tell yourself? Like, just describe to
Ooh.
me. I'd start saying these things and I would feel this way. This is what life would be like.
If I did it the in air quotes perfect way, I think I'd still be being just as hard on myself for all the things. I'd be like, well, you did it, but uh-oh. You did it, but you still suck is what my like that's what comes to my head. It's like it hasn't fixed the actual core of the problem.
Well, let's say you did. Let's say that you spent 2 months working on all of it and you did the basics perfectly because you worked on all of it. Because you keep trying to coach yourself. You're trying to be too slick. And you're not telling me the irrational things that you think. This is the curse of being a coach. Coaches are the worst at, like, we have the hardest time just telling ourselves the truth. Because we have a thought in our head that I think this is the problem for all you coaches. Listen up. You have a thought in your head that if you admit the truth, now you got a bad thought and you won't be able to get what you want.
The truth. Oh, I'm not tracking you. I believe you, but I'm not tracking you.
So if you allow yourself to say whatever it is that's really going on underneath you, most coaches will say, oh no, I shouldn't be thinking that.
Right.
And if I think that, I can't have what I want. Because you started this call off with you were sold on the fact that belief is an issue. That if you don't believe it, you can't get your goal. And that is
Oh.
1,000% wrong.
Oh, interesting. Oh, like I think I've got to believe harder. Not believe harder. I
No.
think I don't. My own diagnosis of myself is that I don't think I believe. Like I'm less than. I don't. How do I say this? Like I'm sort of contending with my own self-doubt. Whereas you think that I can still do the things without believing more.
100%.
Oh,
I
boy,
don't
that's
think
really
belief is,
interesting.
I think belief is, feels good.
Yeah.
I think belief is nice when it's there. The problem is it's, or the real thing is belief is not required. And when
Right,
you make it a
totally.
requirement and
Right.
you're not figuring out why you don't believe, like right now, you're just trying to believe harder and you're not figuring out, like, I wonder why I just don't believe this. I wonder what's actually getting in my way. I wonder
Thank
what those
you.
things are about. Because that's the shit we got to plug the holes on. Here's how I know none of you have to believe that you can lose weight in order to do it. When I was losing weight, the first 75 pounds, I would have bet my soul and let it go to the devil that I wasn't going to lose my weight and keep it off, let alone for 18 years. I mean, I would have made that bet in Vegas every day thinking I'm fixing to be smoking rich. When I lost the first 75 pounds, it was like, I remember when I hit 175. It was the first time I thought, maybe I can do this. Maybe I'll get to goal weight this time. I didn't even have a big belief. I just had like Jiminy Cricket on the inside walking in and saying, like, I'd like to say something to you just in case. Like, and even then, the last 25 pounds, I doubted a lot of stuff. I doubted I'd be able to keep it off. I doubted that I'd be able to, like, I wouldn't have to give up my favorite foods. Like, I had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of things I didn't believe. Because the funny thing about belief is you never really believe most of the time. Every now and then we'll have something that we can truly believe without proof first. But the way the brain works is very skeptical. And so what it does is it's always skeptical of anything it hasn't done yet. It likes to go to the past. It's looking for certainty, even if the certainty makes you cry. Even if you feel certain you can't lose weight, your brain is like, thank God. Because what I don't want to do is like have blind faith. What I don't want to do is have hope. What I don't want to do is really just not know, but do things anyway. We literally, to lose weight, we're fighting against the way that our brain is wired. It wants certainty. And the fastest way to do it is say, like, well, you fucking can't do it. Go cry, go eat something, and then get on with life. The crazy thing about belief is most people do not believe until they have evidence that they've gone out and created for themselves that what they currently believe just can't be true anymore. So, like, when I lost all of my weight, I finally had to believe that I could lose weight. Then it shifted
Because
to
you.
there's no fucking way you'll keep this off.
Okay, hold on. I
I
gotta.
mean, go ahead.
When you lost all your weight, you finally had to believe I can do it because now you had evidence that you'd done it. Is that
It's
what you mean?
really hard to say, I don't
It's
believe
not
you can lose
possible
weight when you're just like,
when
oh
you've done
fuck, you
it.
hit goal. You're
You're
like,
like,
how do you
shit.
say you can't lose weight
When you
when
did,
you've like sat there and proved yourself, like, all right, the facts are saying I can lose weight. And then my little skeptical brain was just like, well, okay, well, we need to be worried about something. You know, you've never kept it off before. Probably just gonna regain it. It just went on to this next flavor. I just got really good at not requiring myself to have amazing thoughts automatically. I
Thank
got
you.
really good at giving myself amazing thoughts in the face of the ones my brain thought automatically. I got really good at talking to myself. I didn't just
Oh,
listen
interesting.
anymore. I listened. I was letting my brain throw everything it had at me. And I would talk with it. That is literally the way I lost weight. I know that that was the fundamental change for me. And let me tell y'all this story just to help you. And then I'm gonna get back to coaching you because I think this is important. It's actually, I wrote a podcast this morning on it. I didn't realize it until I was writing my podcast this morning about how important this was in my life. Growing up, no one in my family was positive. Everybody was negative. We worried a lot. You know, we had hard times. We just had so much going on that I can see why the overall flavor and tone of like my grandparents and everybody was just things will never work out for us. We have to work hard. You know, we better worry about these things. We were always worried about the other shoe. Like, if anything good happened, we were so unaccustomed to good things happening that when they did, we doubted them. You know, that they have strings attached, or if something good happens, then that means something bad's fixing to happen. That is how I grew up. So, when I married my husband, I was very negative. Like, I had the same outlook. Like, I was constantly worried. I thought that I was always thinking he was thinking things he was never thinking. That he meant things, he would like say, I love you. And in my mind, he meant, I love you, but I wish you would lose weight. Like that's how I would just hear it automatically. And my husband did not grow up that way. His mother was very positive. His father was an entrepreneur. He ideated and thought that, you know, like, oh my gosh, he was always trying new businesses and things like that. He failed at a lot of them, but he always started a new one. Like, Chris grew up with people who naturally saw like the greener side of things. That's just where their brains went and stuff. And so when I married him, my whole world reality had like a collision. I was like, I do not understand this. I tell him about something I'm worried about, and he tells me why that's not a problem. And so there was this, for the first, I guess, 2 years we were together, it's like I was having, I wouldn't call it an identity crisis. It was more like I was shocked that there were other ways to think about things in life. Shocked that you don't have to jump to the worst conclusion first. Shocked that people don't think about you near as much as you think. Shocked that what I thought you must be thinking is absolutely not what you were. So, like when Logan was little, it was very high needs that first year. And I was really struggling with depression. I couldn't take him anywhere because he wouldn't get in a car. If we did go places, I couldn't carry him because I was so physically like just wore out with my weight and stuff. Like going anywhere. He had to be carried most of the time and I couldn't do it. So I felt very trapped, alone and isolated. And when he would come home at night, he would take the baby and he would bathe him and he'd take care of him so I wouldn't have to. And I'd eat the entire time. I would just sit down and just start eating. And I asked him one day, like, do you think I'm lazy and selfish? Because you go to work all day and I don't do anything but sit here. And then you have to come home and you have to take care of the baby. And he literally looked at me like I had flowers growing out of my head. He said, I have never thought that. He said, what I think is that Logan's not easy and that I get to go to work and I get to be around adults. I get to eat lunch when I want to. I get to decompress on my way home and on my way to work. I don't have to deal with you have to deal with all day. So when I come home at night, I feel like this is the time I should spend with him so you can get a break. And in my mind, that is not what was happening. And I lived like that for a year, assuming that I was a burden to everyone in my life. And it was like, it dawned on me. This man exemplifies that there has to be another way brains can work in this world. Mine's not working that way. And then that's when I decided to lose weight. And I didn't like decide to follow the four basics and do everything perfect. It was the first time in my life I was like, maybe I don't have to be perfect. Maybe I just need to do things. And maybe I just need to like talk to myself better and cut myself some slack and quit making my own life so miserable in my head that the only outlet I have is to throw my face down in chocolate chip ice cream and anything else that ain't nailed down at night. So I want to ask you, like, when you hear all of that, and you think about to lose 10 pounds, I've got to be perfect. What do you think about that?
I think I'm impossibly mean to myself. I step back and observe it, which it might be, me coaching me. But anyways, it's like I put myself in an impossible position because I insist and demand that I be perfect without giving myself space and room to learn about what I need to do differently. So,
Exactly. Perfection doesn't teach you. It's just like when I first asked you about the 10 pounds, and I said, let's just say you did the basics perfectly and lost your 10 pounds. The very first thing that came out of your mouth was, I wouldn't have changed as, like, I don't think you said it this way, but it was similar to, I wouldn't have changed.
it's not a solution. I wouldn't have solved anything.
Right. It's through like all of the failures that you're having. the mistakes, the overeats and stuff. It's what's behind those, the reason you're eating and the way you talk to yourself. They are late. They are literally saying, Geraldine, I am trying to show you the yellow brick road. And you're turning your
Yeah,
back on it.
totally. I won't let myself go down the learning path because I have the learning path positioned in my mind as failure path. Like I have failed. That's I'm not quite in the metaphor. I'm not quite saying it right, but I think I
You're
get it.
making, yourself a failure for having the fails that we're all supposed to have to learn about how do we fix those fundamental broken things inside of us that will make the overeats go down, that will make it possible for us at the end to just have a brand new relationship with ourselves. Like, I really can't say it enough for all of you. We got to remove the triggers of why you're overeating. And the triggers are things like every time you make a mistake, if you beat yourself up, the very first thing we want to fix is the relationship you have with yourself. How do we turn a mean relationship, a demanding one, a you have to do it right or I yell at you relationship into understanding, co-working together, bonding with the part of you that has needs and saying like, I want to start meeting some of your needs. I want to like, I actually want to, I would love to start talking to you differently. Nobody enjoys beat downs, but we do find them necessary for some reason. And I think yours is you keep the beat downs because you think beat downs keep you perfect, because you think the answer to losing weight must be perfection. And it's like the beat downs are keeping you from doing things. Like the most perfect way to lose weight isn't to just check off boxes. The perfect way to lose weight is to actually understand why the boxes aren't easy for you to check. And then fix those reasons. Then you feel better. And the better you feel, it's so much easier to take care of yourself in the real ways you need to be taken care of, so that food isn't the one thing that does it. Most of us who are in OBS, our biggest issue is we don't have coping skills outside of eating. And one of the
There's
best
something.
coping skill ever to develop is the, like what you said, I'm trying to skip my small talk. Your small talk is where that 10 pounds is hiding. The small talk happens all day, every day.
Oh, that's interesting. You took my small talk to mean like the talk, like the things that I say to myself. I think I meant something different. Like I was
What
trying to
is
skip the
your,
story, is what I
what
meant
is
by
that? What
that.
is the difference between the story and small talk? Because isn't the story talking to you all day?
There's two different streams of stories. But the one that you're onto is the small talk story is like I was just trying to skip all the background and context and just like cut to the chase of what I thought was going on. But anyways, nonetheless, what you picked up on is the small talk of like just this once, does this really matter? Like I had a small bite of muffin this morning and I was like, but the top is so crunchy and crispy.
No,
Meanwhile, I'm not
I think you're, I'm not talking about those things. I think small talk is what you're talking about on the first part. Small talk to me is when you eat something and you tell yourself, there's no way I can lose weight. When you do something and you say, see, if you can't do it right, you can't do it at all. You're such a failure. There are so many little ways that we literally cut ourselves to the bone every single day. We think they're paper cuts, and we're actually, they're deep wounds that we keep inflicting on ourselves all the time. Like, if you have a bite of a muffin and literally, like, that's all you did, That is not where your 10 pounds is hiding.
Oh, no. The bite of the muffin was like, God damn it, Geraldine. Like, you know, I'm not, I don't want to eat gluten. I feel terrible after I do. It was like a regular store-bought muffin. And I was like, why do you betray yourself?
Exactly. You took a bite of a muffin because it tastes good. That's not a betrayal.
Oh, hold on, let's stay
Like,
right
that's
here.
what I'm
Because
talking
I've got that
about. Like,
positioned as betrayal.
exactly. That's the small talk I'm talking about. Like, for fuck's sake, a bite of gluten in a muffin, even if you do feel bad, that is not a betrayal. You know what betrayal is? If my husband went on a work vacation or a work trip and slept with a hooker, that's betrayal. If I stole money from my husband, or I like told my coaches that y'all give me your bank accounts, we're so good at managing your money, and I ran off with it, that's betrayal. I just want you to see. This is why I keep
Oh,
telling y'all, pay attention to your words. There is
like
no
this.
way in fuck, Geraldine, that you sit there and eat a bite of a muffin and say, I am betraying myself, and you learn something from it. Learning will not happen from that. Trying to just not eat gluten and trying to just strong arm yourself, that is the result of that. Making yourself be perfect is the result of that. Like, if you just said, oh, I took a bite of a muffin, everybody wants to taste something good every now and then. Probably won't feel good in my body. But, you know, good to know if the next time the store-bought muffins are out, I might just want to pay attention. Or you just ask yourself, like, you know, it doesn't, like, are you giving yourself at least gluten-free muffins? Do you give yourself, like, it could be signaling a lack of, like, if you're feeling like you need to grab ass real quick, very often that could be, so you might want to investigate. Am I giving myself enough pleasure in food? Maybe I'm not. Or maybe I just have an environmental trigger. And the next time store-bought muffins are on the counter, I will put them. Like, I was reading an article the other day about how, forget the percentage, but it was like they did this experiment with people when it comes to, like, it was an office. I think it was at Google, actually. They had like M&Ms and, like, you know, just all kinds of candy and snacks and even like healthy stuff, sodas and whatnot. And for 1 month, they had everything out, like in clear jars, you know, bowls where you could just grab something. The sodas were in the vending machine, all that kind of stuff. And there was like one row of water or something. And they tracked to see how much people ate. Then the next month, they had the same stuff, except all of like candy and sodas and stuff. They were put like behind frosted glass. You couldn't see them. You knew they were there, but they weren't easily accessible. And then they laid out like Kind bars, and the vending machine was all water and like one row of Coke. Like, they just did all kinds of, they just changed how everything was presented. They saw like a, I want to believe it, might have been a 57% dip into how much those things were consumed without even telling anyone what they were doing. So, the reason why I told you that long story is because that bite of muffin is just telling you something. It could be, huh, I wonder why I wanted it. Is it just because it was out and it's very normal? That stuff looks good. Or, you know, so I just need to like know that these things, because they're not really good for me and my body with my gluten intolerance, when they come in the house, probably putting them in a way that I'm not just quick to grab would be a really good idea. Or it could be signaling, you know, I have this perfection thing about these four basics, and I think I'm supposed to be doing it all right. And so my food is just not very pleasurable. I don't have anything I look forward to because I think if I don't get these 10 pounds off, then I'm a complete failure. So I make it really easy for the part of me that just wants to fucking enjoy food to just grab the first thing it sees.
Right.
So, but do you notice
Yeah.
how we can take that one incident, if you call it betrayal, like I'm not committed, I must have a belief issue. Like that's like I'm betraying. That is a lot of pressure to put on a grab ass of
Is.
the top of a muffin.
Yeah. It blows my mind. There was a bunch of good stuff in there, but the thing that blew my mind was when you were like, the notion that me grab assing the top part, the crunchy part of the muffin top, which is like the yummiest part, it blew my mind that that's a, that just grabbing that and eating it is a neutral circumstance.
Right.
Like that didn't occur to me that that could be anything but a new that that could
A
be a neutral
circumstance.
circumstance. It's a
It's just
circumstance
in your
that I
sea
just that
line.
it's
Like
totally my sea line. It just
a
didn't
lot
occur.
of people
Like
probably
that
wondered
blows
what
my
the fuck
mind.
are, like we're talking some kind of foreign language now. This is part of
Yeah, we can
coaching.
get
We
back
use the
to
models.
yeah.
But no, I'm just going to tell them for
It's a yeah.
you, do not forget to run like models on this. If you'd rather run models than to do discovery worksheets, then run a model, grab a piece of muffin and ate it. That is all that happened. My thought is, I've betrayed myself.
Yeah.
You also could work the model in another way. You put grabbed a piece of muffin in the A line. I wonder what I think and feel that has me grab ass. And so when I was talking about there's two things that could be happening. One could be overly perfecting your food plan to where there's no pleasure and joy. Then the A line could be grabbing a little piece of muffin. And the thought is, ooh, I never get good things. Like that's the subtle thought that could be underneath it. So by
Yep,
writing
yep.
about wondering why I would grab it, and then writing about now that it's that's happened, what are my thoughts about what happened? Now you're working both sides and you get to see really what's going on.
Yeah.
You get to dive into that small talk in your head.
The feeling that I had both when I ate the muffin, after I ate the muffin, before I ate the muffin, like there's plenty to explore in here.
Yeah, because you one sentence you said is I'm impossibly mean to myself. If we have that
Yeah.
muffin bite in that C line, that's what's happening in that A line. I've betrayed
And
myself. I feel probably like fucking shit.
yep.
And then the A line becomes I'm impossibly mean to myself. Because if I just want you to think, do we have positive thoughts about people who betray things?
Yeah,
Never.
no. Wait, so that last model where in the A line I'm the action is I'm mean to myself.
That's where the
That's
C is grabbed the crusty good part of the muffin.
oh, and then my thoughts about it are you shithead, you dumbass, why did you? You're such a sucker, blah blah blah, like all the mean
I
thoughts.
betrayed myself.
Oh, okay.
This
Yeah.
is a betrayal. So, because
Wow.
you're viewing it as a
Yeah.
betrayal, how does it feel when I say I betrayed myself?
Terrible. I don't know the exact feeling, but awful.
Yeah, awful. So when we feel awful, now our A line is littered with, you fucking idiot. You shouldn't be doing this. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm impossibly mean to myself.
Yeah.
And
And
then
then fuck
the
itty
result,
is what follows.
well, yeah. And then you just further betray your dreams. You're not
Oh,
betraying you,
yeah.
you're betraying your
Right.
dreams. And it has nothing to do with
With a
eating. You
muffin.
betrayed yourself because of the way you talk to yourself.
The model. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Man, we got
Yes.
into for a lot of you, that was some advanced stuff. No, CTFAR is not discussed in our current courses or curriculum. Let me tell y'all why. I did that for a while, and about 10% of members could do it. It really, to me, to learn how to do that work, you really need to have gone to school. Like we have an even She went probably to the same training. I guess you are LCS certified.
Yeah.
Just notice how she had no clue as to how to work her models.
Yes, totally.
Now, I'm not saying that because she's a failure. I'm saying that because it takes years of experience, and I'm a master certified coach. I have certified master coaches. I have taught coaching, and that is the only reason why I think I can catch a lot of this. I don't teach it inside our program, but everything we do is just me teaching y'all that without using the formulas. So when you are inside the program and I'm having you question what you think, if you're using planners, if you're using the things, I'm doing all of that with you without you getting confused about what we're doing. So if you're doing things like the self-love course, if you do the relationships course, there's lots of things where we have journals and stuff. All of those questions are literally walking you through this format without you feeling like you have to do it right. That is the biggest problem we also had with the model is people always felt like they were doing them wrong, so they quit doing them, which meant they quit listening to how they thought. Okay.
And I
Geraldine?
can also stay out of the jargon if you prefer. I'm happy to do the best I can to stay out of the jargon.
No, it's fine. It's never a
Okay.
bad thing. Whenever I coach the coaches, it always ends up coming up. And they learn through this. I mean, everybody has learned something. Now, for all of you who are wondering about this, if you're doing your own journaling, most people will, by the way that anything I've taught you in No BS, you are naturally becoming someone who knows how to do this without actually having to like fill out a form to do it. And if you take it to our coaches, every one of them are certified in this method, among other things. They know that's why they ask you a lot of questions because in order to do this stuff, there's a lot of questions that have to be asked and answered to figure out what's really going on. But they're coaching you in that fashion. And they have also gone through advanced trainings with me and other coaches I've brought in to do advanced trainings with them. So you can always trust that the coaches, they know what they're doing. Don't doubt them. All right, where are you at now?
This
We can wrap it up.
so, God, so helpful, so helpful.
Right. So what are you going
Number
to work
one,
on first?
that I have belief as a requirement and a prerequisite. That was mind blowing. I didn't know I didn't need it.
So I would journal on that. Like what I would do
Yeah.
is I would work with myself on why is it not a requirement? It's nice to have, but it's not a requirement. And if
Yep.
I want to believe more, what could I show myself in order for that part of my brain to be like, huh, maybe this is working?
Okay. I'm gonna have to catch that on the recording because I didn't fully get it, but I'll get it. And then just like, how about I treat, no, I'm not gonna say it that way. Just kindness. Because,
We got to break the habit of being an asshole.
yeah,
It's a habit just like anything.
it's just, and thank you. It's just a habit. Like, because I can get in a, I can put meanness to myself. Like, I can judge that and be like, you shouldn't be so mean to yourself. Why are you so hard on yourself? Stop being so fucking hard on yourself, you know? And like, just repeat, repeat.
And if
And
your
instead,
brain
just think of it as a
naturally,
habit.
it is just a habit. And
It's
so if
just
your
a
brain
habit.
naturally goes to attack mode, that is where you also journal on why this is a habit and not a flaw. Like, if you want to, like, why am I so mean to myself? I'd probably do some journaling on. I wonder where that started. Because all
Okay.
habits are learned behaviors.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're asking, I always say,
Yeah.
if you're asking yourself a question, write it down on paper and then answer it with your logical brain. Do not
Yep.
let your brain just think things like, why are you such an asshole? And never answer it because then the illogical part of your brain is in there going like, because you suck, because you're a failure, because blah, 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 blah. Like it's got answers. They're not good though.
Yeah.
So we want better thought out answers. Okay.
Okay. I love this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. All right. Thank you. All right, peoples. Maintenance coaching will start at the bottom of the hour in 25 minutes. If you want maintenance coaching, come back to that call and we will get started. Bye, y'all.